Hi, I'm Haley, author of the book blog Brook and Binding.
And I'm Maddie, upcoming debut author of Take My Sunshine coming winter 2024. And this is
Lit Sis.
Hey, Mad.
Yeah, Haley.
Don't you have an Instagram?
I do have an Instagram. You can see all that I'm reading at Maddie Reads a Lot.
M-A-D-D-Y,
that
right?
That's right, M-A-D-D-Y.
And then don't you have another one?
I do. I do have a new Instagram that you can follow me for all of my author things at @EmmyGlenz_author.
@EmmyGlenz_author. I love it. I also have an Instagram.
Ooh, yes. Would you like to share?
It's Brook and Binding. Mm-hmm.
And if you want to see anything about Lit Sis itself, you can find information about Lit Sis at Lit Sis Podcast on Instagram as well.
Go check them out.
Happy Friday, Lit Sisners.
Hello, everybody.
I hope everybody is having a happy Friday wherever you are. We are recording this today, Friday, whatever date this, February, whatever, 16th. We're recording day of, which doesn't happen all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Which means that you'll get an accurate portrayal of what books we're currently reading, because sometimes it's not what actually we're reading by the time that the episode
Well, for
airs.
Me, it's usually this.
Well, really? Yeah. For you. That's yeah, real. Not always for me. but today we're very excited. Finally, the finalists for Book of the Month, Book of the Year have been announced, and we're here to talk about it today.
I am so glad this finally is up, because we have been complaining about it. Maybe they heard us.
They could have.
Thank you, Book of the Month, for listening. I know you're an avid fan, but finally they are here. Oh my goodness. It has been like, it felt like eons in the making, but we are here, and I'm excited to talk to you guys and let you know which ones they are, and which ones that I know we either voted for or ones that we think that would be potential winners here as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, so very exciting. Let's just start off from the get-go. So the first nominee for the finalist for Book of the Year is Lisa Jewell's book, None of This Is True.
And this is one that you recommended to me, because I've given up on her. I said, I'm done with Lisa.
But I know
this
you
is
did.
Actually one that you said recently, like this year you said, like, I told you, I said, if there is a Lisa Jewell that you think actually can redeem her for me, like pick one. And you had one that was before this one. I can't remember what it's called, but when you read this one, you were like, no, this Lisa Jewell, you need to read this one.
I mean, I still like both. The Night She Disappeared was the other one.
Oh, yeah,
and then
yeah.
This one, None of This Is True. I still think both are great contenders. I will say, None of This Is True, I thought was very fun to read because of the like mixed media aspect. So like they're like every other chapter or whatever, there's like a snippet of like a Netflix documentary about what you're reading about. So like eventually something happens that's so big, what you're reading about happens, it becomes so big, it becomes like a Netflix true crime documentary. So you get little snippets of that throughout the book, which intrigues you and like wants you to keep reading further of like, okay, why, what happened? Why did this happen? Like what crazy thing are they all insinuating into? There's like interviews and things like that. And that just really propels the book, I think, to, for you to get to the answer. Mm-hmm. So do I think it's worthy of being a Book of the Year finalist? I'm not sure. I really enjoyed it.
That's so surprising for me.
No,
I totally thought you would say yes. Like, you're like, oh, I'm not surprised.
No, I mean, I'm not surprised because she's a popular name. But for me, thriller books in general, I don't consider to be Book of the Year, like, worthy.
That's so interesting. Is it because you more so think Book of the Year as in maybe, like, a drama or a little bit more, like, a fiction heavy, and you don't think that like thriller can carry that title?
Maybe a little bit, not to be like bad towards thriller books, but I was recently saying in a couple episodes ago when we were talking about Tomorrow and Tomorrow that there's just like a different caliber with like,
you can feel it.
Yeah, you can feel it. And like that is the kind of book that I'm like, oh yeah, like that's a nominee for Book of the Year for sure, because there's a feeling on the inside. And,
well, I will say,
more often than not, thrillers don't have that feeling. They're entertaining 100% and they're well written and they can have amazing plots, but typically I don't think of the writing as, like, I just don't think a thriller can be in theory like more likely to win than like a very well written, like well plot designed book like a Tomorrow.
Well, the thing is, I will say, I'm looking at some of the past finalists and there has been at least one thriller in each of the top five, but a thriller has never won.
Yes.
So I think it's like we want to hit different categories.
I can see that.
Maybe someone, this was like the top thriller of the year or something like that.
But like if you look back at the winners, it's always like a very well written, very like emotional. Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. So that means maybe your guess is saying Lisa Jewell, she got her name out there. She's not going to be the winner.
Yeah,
so then you need to be looking at what your other options are. And I would say you have probably three that are potential actual winners, maybe two actual high winners.
I would agree. So anyway, that is the first one. Lisa Jewell, None of This is True, I think is a very good book. But yeah,
is it worthy of a nomination?
It's probably worthy of the thriller nomination. I'd have to look back and remember what the other ones were, but it's probably worthy of the thriller nominee if there's going to just be one.
Okay, yeah. So then next, we have Shark Heart, A Love Story by Emily Habeck or Habeck, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And neither of us have read this, but I do remember when it came out as a Book of the Month option, I remember kind of feeling like, oh, this is a really unique choice of writing. Like the plot is really unique.
Yes.
And I could tell it's like, you get those like inklings of like, this might be something. But you're just not sure because it's kind of like out of left field a little bit. I feel like we both kind of had that feeling of this might be something.
Yeah.
But like it wasn't something that at the moment we both were like, oh, I need to get this to try it out, you know. Mm-hmm. But it did have that like, oh, unique. It's going to stick with me. I can see where people were maybe intrigued by it. And it must have lived up to the name because people obviously liked it enough to vote for it.
Yes. I think this is probably going to be my choice for, because we get to add one of the finalists to our March box. Personally, this is probably going to be my choice just because when I initially read about it, where it's like a couple who, it's like the whole thing is a metaphor for what happens when someone in your life goes through a change. Like and you're in a relationship with someone and someone goes through a change that is irreconcilably creates a divide between the two of you. That's the whole book is a metaphor on that. But in the reality of the book, in the couple, I think it's the husband.
Yeah, he becomes a shark.
Yeah, he slowly turns into a shark. And I think that
not very subtle.
It's not very subtle at all. And how to say goodbye to someone when they are changing and turning into a new person. And I think it's a great metaphor. I think at the time I was like, I don't know how I'm going to view this book.
Sounds like a metaphor. It sounds kind of like a folklore tale or something like that. Like that. Something that's like a little bit of like a mystical story that you maybe are like, oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, but like I don't you know learn like a lesson from.
Yeah. But maybe not like necessarily an entertaining read.
It's supposed to be presented as like real. So like the guy has like a medical condition.
They make it more realistic. Yeah.
Yeah. And I just didn't know how I was going to be able to handle how that was going to turn out. So I decided to like hedge my bets and not get it. But it was very popular. I will say, I don't know about you. I feel like it's the only literary fiction option. And looking at the past few years, the winners either been like historical fiction or actually most of them have been historical fiction.
Yeah. Fantasy.
One fantasy, Cersei. One contemporary fiction and mostly one historical. Mostly historical. And then Tomorrow was the last winner, which was a literary fiction as well. So we don't have a historical fiction actually on the nominees this year. So I feel like Shark Heart has a very high likelihood of winning. Mm-hmm. However, I feel like the only thing holding it back would be the number of people who were like me and in between the unsure about the whole like shark thing overall. Yeah. That'd be my only hold up.
Yeah. I think the only thing that I'm actually really noticing right now is I don't think we actually get to vote again. And I think that's a change. I think a year ago they changed that.
I think but we talked about this last year.
Yeah. But in the past, we've been able to vote again because now it's like, oh, these are the ones that I really liked. And then it's like, oh, okay. But out of the three I voted for, I would pick this one the most, you know, and then be able to have a second round of voting. Because actually, two out of the five that are up here are two that I nominated. So I'm like, if I was the person who was like, well, I nominated two out of these, if I would have a chance to vote again, I would pick, you know, this one over that one.
How and they're not allowing to nominate? You
three.
Really? I don't remember doing that.
Yep. And I'm just noticing that, like, we actually don't get to vote again. Yeah, but, like, I wonder if people seeing, oh, people must have really liked Shark Heart. It made top five. Like, to be able to be like, well, that's on my TBR. This is what I would do. Remember, I'd be like, that's on my TBR. I should try to read it before I would get to vote. Yeah. So then I can actually give a better vote at the very end. Yeah, you would know which one. So, like, I'm interested why they changed it. I don't know. Maybe because they already have it tallied up and they're just telling us the top five and they just already know the winner.
It could be. And maybe they think that, like, based off of, like, the numbers, the winner wouldn't change much. It wouldn't be a much bigger change anyway.
Maybe.
I don't know.
It's just weird. But anyway, I guess
think about it this way. Well, does it? Thinking about, like, the Oscars, when they have, like, the nominees for Best Picture or whatever, they're looking at the bigger pool of every movie. Do they then, like, narrow it down and then vote from there? Or is the narrowing down, like, already based off the votes? That would be a good question.
It would make more sense to re-vote based on the smaller category.
I would agree. Oh, well.
But, okay. But anyway, so Shark Heart, interesting. I'm not surprised it's there because I know it's unique.
Yes.
I voted for the next two. We have Wayward by Amelia Hart and The Wishing Game by Meg Schaffer.
I'll let you talk about Wayward then, because I read The Wishing Game.
Okay, I've not read Wayward, but it's on my shelf.
Yes.
So Wayward is a magical realism, and the little quick take that says underneath it, it says, an ode to the natural world and female power, this lush, generational spanning novel is equal parts daring and inspiring. This is essentially like, it's hard to explain. It's like, it's like the split timelines, which is something I love. You have a 16-19 timeline. It says Althea is awaiting trial for the murder of a local farmer. She's, you know, her mother's taught her about magic, you know, and all this stuff. So she's kind of being as this like witch, you know. And then 1942, you have Violet during World War II trapped in her family's grand crumbling estate. It's essentially like these two stories. Well, actually, there's three women, but it's like spans across all these different like centuries where they just kind of like use the natural world and like this transformational power and like feminism, essentially. But just of like, it's essentially magic with nature over a period of time with all these different, and I'm not sure, like, so I guess I haven't read it yet, but I'm always intrigued by stuff like this. I love different timelines. I love like some kind of like a magical realism of some sort. So this is right up my alley, but I was very, very surprised that it got nominated because I kind of felt like it was like a niche, but then all of a sudden it got this big surge on like on social media. And I was like, oh, this is really interesting. Like people are kind of like sticking to this or they're thinking that, you know, this sounds interesting. Cause usually it's like a little bit more of like an aside like genre that people don't usually go for, I feel like. But yeah, it gives me like, I guess people are kind of going for that. I mean, Alex E. Harrow just had that other book come out as well. We've got the Divine Rivals stuff going on right now. So everyone is kind of in this like magical realism world, it feels
That's
like.
Fair.
So, but I only voted for it because I was like, oh, this sounded good to me in the moment. It's on my shelf. I do want to read this. I might as well. And I just didn't think it was actually going to make, you know, top five. But I think it sounds pretty interesting. And like I said, like the cover is really kind of cool. It's got like this raven, it kind of looks like on the cover. It makes you kind of think of like Edgar Allan Poe type thing, like kind of like creepy. But there's a ton of nature behind it. It's like, so I don't know if I did the best job of describing it, but
no, I thought you did a pretty decent job. It definitely, like you said, it's very much like a niche.
It's just like essentially generations of witches
Yes.
and how that kind of looks in their society. But like more of like nature focused than like magic.
What do you think is its likelihood of winning?
I actually think it has a fairly good likelihood. I think Sharkheart and Wayward are probably my top two that I think could potentially win. It's a magical realism, but it also probably has that vibe of potential like contemporary fiction, even though it's not, because it has the magic mm-hmm. element, especially because it's multi-storied. Multi-generational. There's like mm-hmm. ties between each of the family members and stuff like that. Because I feel like The Wishing Game, which is the one you're going to talk about, uh-huh. also has like, I know it's got a really big love, and we've talked about it and how sweet and like warm it is in your heart and stuff like that. And just of like the beauty of that story. And then the last one is a romance. And I don't really see the romance winning, no offense. But yeah,
no romance has ever won.
So. I would say Sharkheart and Wayward are like the top two.
Yeah, so I would definitely say, just looking at history, because no thriller or romance has ever won, I'd say contemporary fiction has won before, but it was way back in 2016. I would agree with you, probably Sharkheart and Wayward have the highest likelihood of winning. I do know, I'll talk about The Wishing Game now. I do know that some people had some qualms with The Wishing Game. Really loved it. But I would agree with you, probably those two have the highest likelihood of probably winning. So I really love The Wishing Game. So The Wishing Game is actually a pretty short book. It was less than 300 pages. And it's about, like, imagine if there was like a young elementary to middle grade book about children who travel across the country to this magical island called Clock Island in search of the Clock Master, something like that. Puzzle Master. All these kids have something going on in their personal lives. This is this book series. All these kids have something going on in their personal lives. Every little book in the series, they go here and they ask the master for help to solving what's going on in their life, and the master provides them with different puzzles like mind games and word games and physical puzzles as they navigate Clock Island. By the end of it, each of the children realize that although they want to escape the frustrations of their lives, the master helps them to realize through the work of puzzles and using their imagination that any problem that they can solve on Clock Island, they can also solve problems in their real life. And they go home learning more and more about how to solve real life problems. And so this is like a 30 book series in this fictional world that kids have loved forever. Mm-hmm. So we follow, and then eventually they stop being written. And so we follow this main character who loved the Clock Island books as a kid, and she currently works as like a para in a school, and she loves this sweet little boy in one of her classes who he's in the foster system and desperately needs a home. She wishes she would have enough money because she would adopt him ASAP if she could. And she helped care for him overnight one time when he had like an emergency foster need. So she has like a great love for this kid, and she wishes she could care for him like a mother. Think like Matilda, or like mm-hmm, mm-hmm, with mm-hmm. Miss Honey and Matilda, like mm-hmm. that one. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of like their relationship. And then an announcement comes that there's going to be a next Clock Island book, but only a limited number of people can ever read it. And there's like a competition that's going to be happening on like the real Clock Island that's like over in Maine. And a few select people have been selected to go and compete. So it's like a Clock Island book. So she is one of the people that has been selected, and she goes to this island, and the winner at the end of this week gets the only copy of this new Clock Island book, which they can either read and keep to themselves or sell to whichever publisher will pay the most. Wow. So the main character is like, I need to go and I need to win, because if I can win this and I can get this money, I can adopt this guy, he could be my son, and it can make all of her wishes come true. However, things are not as easy as they seem. Everybody else there has a motivation to mm-hmm. win as well. And mm-hmm. they realize that Jack Masterson, who is the author, mm-hmm. He is not that he's not what they see, but he's got more troubles than they mm-hmm. they realized idolizing mm-hmm. him growing up. So mm-hmm. it's a very like nice, like, good-hearted story about how literature can bring us together, how wishes can bring us together. Mm-hmm. It goes places that I didn't expect it to go in a good way. Mm-hmm. And it was just a very entertaining, very cute read. Mm-hmm. However, I know that the reason I'm not sure if it would win is I know that some people had qualms about how the relationships between adults and children are viewed in the story.
Oh, okay.
Because, you know, this main character, like, wants to adopt this boy, and they're like, oh, that's kind of weird. And I'm like, I don't think so, but some people thought it was weird. And then just the way that the Jack Masterson, because he wrote this book for children, he had, like, various interactions with children, and he, like, cared for them as if they, like, some kids would, like, come to his island, like a Clock Island kid, wanting to find refuge. And he would care for them for, like, a day and then, like, send them on their way. And so some people thought that that was kind of sketchy as well. I didn't think so. I think it's only sketchy if you look at it in a sketchy light of, like, ooh, that's weird. But, like, literally nobody in the book has any, like, untoward motivations. It truly is just a competition between all these people who love this book series. So that's the only reason I think that it wouldn't win. It's also a little bit, since it's more lighthearted, it doesn't really track with most of the books that have won in the past. So I voted for it just because it was such a good book. It was so good. It was so cute. And I really enjoyed reading it. But I don't know if it'll win.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I think you did such a great job of painting the picture of the book. I'm not sure if it will end up winning, but, you know, sometimes we do need a little bit of that lightheartedness, and we do need something so innocent in that regard to win. It doesn't always have to be something super heavy.
If it did win, it'll
just be a surprise.
I know. If it did win, I'd be very, very happy. I think it probably is third most likely. I just don't think romance or thriller will win. So I think it's third most likely, which would be fun.
So, yeah. So I just sent you, Matt, a screenshot of all the nominees.
Oh, yes.
So why don't you look through that really quick? I'm going to talk about the, so you can see if there was anything that maybe you felt like a thriller wise or something else that you were surprised that didn't make the top five.
Okay.
I'm going to talk about the last book here for our top five finalists. And we have Yours Truly by Abby Jimenez. And this is essentially about these two doctors who kind of like fake date but fall in love. It sounds like, just because I've not read this one, but it sounds like it is, through the synopsis, obviously. This doctor, she just is having a really hard time with her life. Like, she's just getting divorced. Her brother is needing a kidney donor and they can't find one. She really wants this promotion at work. It's just like all these things are kind of like just hitting her pretty hard. But then this new doctor, obviously, comes into the her life, but she just thinks he's super annoying, and he always is just bothering her, and she feels like there's just like tension there. And obviously, probably she's projecting some of that from her own life, but there's something that happens where he like sends her a letter somehow, and she reads this letter that he wrote, and they start to kind of become pen pals in this way of like sharing lunch dates, exchanging letters, like kind of sharing all of these little they're going through the thick of it, you know, both being at work in the same place and stuff like that. And apparently he ends up giving a kidney to her brother, and so she's like, how can I like hate this guy when he's doing all these amazing things? So it's like a hate to love must be romance. I don't know why they would give away some of those details in the synopsis, but they did. It has a really high member rating. It's like 79% love, which is crazy high. And someone even says, like, I know it's only May when they wrote this, but they think they were like, this is book of the year. It's amazing. Such good raw emotions and feelings. People like seriously are swooning over this. And I have not read the other one by Abby. I know people really like her. I've not read her in the romance world, which is hilarious because I feel like you have taken over the romance world and I have not.
I know, it's weird.
Which is hilarious because it's just role reversal, which is fun. I love when that happens. But yeah, I do not see this being the winner. I think it's nice to have like a romance, like as a representation up there, because you can't have everything be like a literary fiction. Because people love their romance. Like, they like love their romance novels. So it makes sense for it to be there. I think the premise of it sounds kind of interesting, but it feels fairly predictable. And that's kind of like where I'm like, don't really know if there's much to it to be able to say like, wow, that's deserving of being the best of everything that mm-hmm. happened this year.
Yeah, I will say the one thing that potentially could push this one up is Abby Jimenez has had a very significant issue with her health in the last year. So wonder if...
I don't know
so
that.
So I was just Googling because I thought I remembered if it was her or not. So yours truly is the medical stuff. A lot mm-hmm. of it is based off of her experience recently with kidney disease. And then she also has cancer.
Oh gosh.
So she has ovarian cancer.
Oh no, Abby.
So she just mentioned, I think she opened up about it. I think last year she had talked about being diagnosed with ovarian cancer. Mm-hmm. So that's the only thing I could think of is like people maybe like really rallying for her to win just because of her personal health issues. Do I think that's a reason why a book should win Book of the Year? Of course not. I'm just basing off of what people might feel like they want to do emotionally, which I think is very valid. Like, her book does sound good, and she's written many books. So I could see a lot of people rallying behind voting for hers because of her cancer diagnosis. However, mm-hmm. I think that would have been more likely have we been able to vote on the five and not from the group of them. Because from the group of them, there's a lot more that I wouldn't necessarily think that many people would vote for one book specifically for a reason outside of the best book, especially because mm-hmm. we got to vote for up to three. Mm-hmm. So for me personally, the ones I'm surprised are not on there is Mame by Jessica George.
Yes, that is a surprise.
So, so good. It was so good. I read it in the very beginning of 2023. It was so good. It was very emotional. I talked about this before, but a lot of the books that I voted for all were like very emotional and had to do with like grief and loss of like a parental figure. All the crying, including Collective Regrets of Clover as well, that I was so surprised was not on there. And then what was the last one? As Long as the Lemon Tree Grows. Mm-hmm. That one I also read. I read all these ones. That one I absolutely loved as well. All of these I think were 5 stars for me. I loved As Long as the Lemon Tree Grows. It is a very beautiful portrayal of what was going on in, oh crap, I'm going to be terrible. I think it was Iraq or Iran in the early 2000s with the war going on. Mm-hmm. And it was beautiful. And I know that it sold out at least once on Book of the Month. So I was surprised mm-hmm. that it didn't end up being a nominee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and also looking here at some of the other nominees, it looks like there was only 2 thrillers that I can see that did get nominated for like the top 20. Which was Lisa Jewell and then What Lies in the Woods.
It's in Syria.
Syria. Okay. I also am surprised about how not my Siri is listening to me now because you said that. Go away, Siri. She went away. Okay. I'm also surprised you have the Unmaking of June Farrow up here, Adrian Young. Mm-hmm. We also have a William Kent Kruger, The River, River We Remember. You've got a couple that I'm just like really surprised about. You even have an Allie Hazelwood, for goodness sakes. Like,
that's
like,
true.
I'm happy for Abby. You know, I feel bad for her and my thoughts and prayers go out to her for, you know, everything that she's been going through and is going through right now. But yeah, there's like even just a couple on here. Like I was like, oh, like either I know that that got a lot of attention or that's a mm-hmm. really good name or I've heard good things.
Yeah.
So I was kind of surprised about the lineup, to be honest, in some regards. Some of them, it kind of threw me off because I feel like last year's lineup also kind of threw me off. But I feel like every year before that, I was like able to tell you, I know for sure these are top five. I could tell you for sure.
Yeah.
Like even like 2017, I knew 2017
was the most obvious top five of all so time. Good.
I think 2018 was super obvious as well. I thought 2019 made a lot of sense. I feel like 2020 was like one of my favorite tops. It was so good. Mm-hmm. 2021, I feel like for the most part, was pretty straightforward. And then last year and this year, I feel like, what is happening, people?
Lincoln Highway being in the top five.
I know,
2022.
You can't get behind. You cannot. It drives you nuts.
It's like the only historical fiction that hadn't won in years for a reason.
Crazy. But honestly, congrats to all top five. I'm excited to see who the actual winner is. A lot of times that does help me figure out if I need to add it to my box or not.
That's true.
If it's a book, obviously I already have, like if it's Wayward, I already have that, so I'm not going to get that. But I'm not like jumping at the bit to be like, oh, I can't wait to add this to my box. Like there's none that I'm like, oh, I can't wait to read this.
Well, I think part of it is like you can also borrow None of This Is True and The Wishing Game from me. So like what's the purpose of you owning those? Wayward, so your options would be Sharkheart or Yours Truly, which I already said I'd get Sharkheart, but if you're really holding on to that, then I would get Yours Truly. But like those are pretty much our only options, because between the two of us we could read 3 out of 5.
I know. Is this gonna be the first year I don't get a book of the year book?
Don't do that. That's silly.
That's like standing out to me.
At least just get it just to have. I mean, it's
valid.
It's a free book.
Valid.
Why would you pass on a free book?
I will.
I know, me too.
Let's just hope that it's one that I'm okay with. Anyway, so that's top five. Those are our thoughts about, you know, we've talked about this for a couple weeks now. We've got the 2023 nominees we've talked about, and we've totally demolished some of them. But I'm excited to see. I'm not sure exactly when they are going to actually announce the winner.
Hopefully it will be soon.
Hopefully within the next week or two, maybe by the end of February, because they want us to be able to add it to our March boxes. So they got a couple of weeks to be able to post it, but hopefully it won't be like week before and then like a couple days later, here's your March boxes, you know, add it in. You know, hopefully we have a little bit of time to sit with it a minute and just process which ones we're going to want to add. But yeah, so that is essentially going on here with all of these top five. Matt, what are you currently reading?
I'm currently reading Ready or Not by Kara Bastone. So I got it with my February box, and it is about a girl who goes through a girl, not a girl. She's a woman who experiences an unexpected pregnancy after having a one night stand.
Yeah, that sounds so cute.
It is super cute. And like her best friend has been trying to get pregnant for like 2 years. So like is very emotional about it. And so her best friend's brother ends up being kind of the person that she like leans on during this time. And feelings arise. It's so cute so far. I'm really loving it.
Good. I'm glad. That sounds adorable.
Yeah, it's like for example, this is the thing that I think is super cute. Like the writing is really adorable, and like they're all it's like very unique in some of the aspects. So like there was this one part where she like answers the phone of the brother, and she's like, you can tell she's starting to get feelings, and she's like, hi Shep, and she's like, my voice sounds like I'm trying to be Minnie Mouse or like something like that, like to kind of paint to you this picture like how high and squeaky and like nervous she sounds. It's very descriptive like that, which I really enjoy. So
that
what are you
so
reading
fun. I am currently reading The Mysterious Case of Albert and Angels by
Jimmy
Fallon.
How far are you? Not at all.
I'm actually maybe like 80 pages in, 90 pages in. I was able to get a good chunk done the other day in a very short amount of time because it flies.
It does.
I am very intrigued by this. You know me, I love a cult.
Yes.
So that's exciting. I was happy about that.
Yeah.
I'm very intrigued by the storyline itself. Have not dove too deep into it, but I am trying to make it a point to take time each day to try to read a little bit.
And it's so easy to read.
It is very easy to read. I just started it like 2 days ago, and I'm really enjoying it. And obviously, I got it from the library, and I sent it to you, and I was like, look at this, and you go, you need to read it.
Yes.
So I did. So I'm working on it.
And we'll have to do a book review about it, because I need to talk about it.
Sure. That's great. We can
totally do
that.
It's so good.
And it just came out. Oh, no, it didn't. I lied. September.
It came out, yeah, last year.
Whoops. I thought it was new. It was on the, like, new part of my shelf, so.
It's relatively new. I mean, it's, like, 5-6 months old.
I also got Everyone on This Train is a Suspect by Benjamin Stevenson, which is actually for real brand new.
That is for real new.
Also at my house, so. exciting to dive into some of these things for sure. Trying to be a little bit more intentional with that.
Good. That's very good. I have been doing not as much reading because at work lately I've been crafting instead of reading, which is also fun, but I need to do some reading today. Mm-hmm. We'll see. All right, you guys, thank you so much for listening to this episode. I totally thought it was going to be like a short one. I even told Haley, I was like, we'll just record a little app about the top five. And then, of course, we can't stop talking about books because that's just how things are. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Let us know if you like the Book of the Year finalists or what other ones you would choose. And let us know what you predict, which one that you predict is going to win. I'm going to put in my final predictions and I'm going to say it's Wayward.
I'm going to put it. I love that option for you. I think I'm going to put in Shark Heart.
Okay. That's kind of opposite, but I really feel like a lot of people liked Wayward. So that's what I'm putting my pin in that.
I'm kind of hoping it's Wayward, but a part of me feels like Shark Heart is so unique. It's like, it I can so see unique. That being. And then I can totally, with like all the cancer stuff, I could totally see people being like, it's going to be Abby. And it's going to be like, wow, what a surprise, you know?
Mm-hmm. But yeah, it won't be a surprise. Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. All right, you guys. Thanks. Thanks for taking a break from reading. Now go flip some pages. Thank you.